A few weeks ago, one of the great Gedolei Hador passed away, Chacham Avadia Yosef. So I was asked to say a few words about him. I feel very privileged that the last time I saw Chacham Avadia, this past summer, he slapped me. And he slapped me in a way that he showed Derech Hibo, like by Ashkenazim. So you give a person a pinch on the cheek. So we brought a whole group of high school students. Every other year, they bring a group of high school students who are NCSY learning program in Eretz Yisrael. They bring them to his Beis Medrash, and on the spot, they don't have to tell them in advance, on the spot, just gives a drosha for 25 minutes, this special for them, gives them musa that they need. And then as everybody was going out, so they told him that I'm the rabbi of the group. So he was giving me bracha. They told him I'm a Rebbe in America, so he gave me bracha, so I should have a lot of nachas from all the Talmidim. And then he slapped me on the cheek, as he sometimes does, a real slap, like this. So I saw it. I was at a bris a few years ago with a great grandchild of his, but he was the sandik. So I saw he didn't slap all the people. He only slapped the grandson. He didn't slap all the other people. Only those whom he likes, I think so. He slapped. Rab Soloveitchik told the story that when he visited Eretz Yisrael, the one time he visited in 1935, as a candidate for the Rabbonus in Tel Aviv, so they invited him to give shiurim at different koilalim, at different yeshivas. So he was in the middle of a shiur in one of the koilalim, and he needed a rashbo in order to make a diuk to point out the expression that the rashbo used, a diuk in the Loshon HaRashbo. So they found him a rashbo, but that page was missing. So he said, but he needs a Rashbo. So one of the people in the Kollel said, what paragraph do you need in the Rashbo? So he said, which paragraph? I said, I'll tell you by heart what it says. So he rattled off the paragraph. So Rabbi Soloveitchik said, that's it, that line, that's the line that I need. Yeah, that's the line. So Rabbi Soloveitchik didn't say who it was. He apparently didn't know who it was. So recently, Rabbi Genak, I think 2-3 years ago, asked Rabbi Avad Yosef's son whether his father learned in that Kollel at that time. He made a calculation and said he thinks so. He thinks his father learned in that cult. So that was probably him. It probably could not be anybody else. He really remembered everything by heart. He had a phenomenal memory. But people used to say, yeah, he had a photographic memory. You know, like Mamach Tabak, he had a photographic memory. He felt very hurt by that. He said, I read the Taisus 100 times. That's why I remember it. Not just the photograph, he just looks at it. He chazed the Taisus 100 times. He has in his svarim. How important it is to chazah. So one of his svarim on Yontav Shavuos, he writes about Limud HaTorah. So he writes that he was very taken by some of the Gedolim. He said, he knew Rab Tzvi Pesach Frank, Rab Reuven Katz from Petach Tikva. He was together with Rab Reuven Katz on the Bezin. That was Rabbi Michud Katz's father. So he said, these people knew Kala Torah Kula. He said that Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank had a charusa with another Adam Godel, I forgot about who, when they were teenagers, when they were younger, and they chazed Yevomis till Daf Pei Zayin 90 times. And Rav Tzvi Pesach wanted to chaz him another 30 times, that it should be 120. And the other charusa said, must be enough, we chazed 90 times, so we can go back to see. He was very insistent that you have to chaz him a lot. And he taka had, because he chazed so much, that's why he remembered everything. Taka at that bris that I attended by the great grandchild, where he was the sandik. So someone was telling a maisa, he didn't stay to the bris. He was the sandik by the bris, and he gave the kriya shem, and then he went to learn. He was learning all day and all night. He was a fantastic masmid. They say that when he was, all the years that he was involved in shas, with the politics, the whole politics was 12 minutes a day. When he took off his talis and tefillin in the morning, before he went to sit down and learn, so he spent 12 minutes a day to talk the politics, and the rest of the day he sat and he learned Bahas Mother. He was a Meir Dika Masmid. So I remember at the Bris, I was sitting with all at the head table, so to speak, so one of the people was telling me that when the Bar Ilan put out their computer with all of the Shadas HaTshuvas, that they wanted to test Chacham Avadia, see if he knows all the Marmakims that the computer has. So they asked him a certain shayla. So he started rattling off, and they were writing down, started rattling off which svarim, which other shetshuvas discussed this topic. So he gave a list of 23. Then they would print it out from the Bar Ilan computer. They had 24. So they chapped him. There was one that he didn't quote. So the one that he didn't quote was Yabi Omer. That was his. He didn't say that he has a tshuva. He said that 23 others will have tshuvas on. They didn't chap him. He emphasizes so much in the introduction to his first volume of Shadrach Yeshivas Ne'abi Yomer, he complains that in all of the yeshivas they learn Pilpulim and they don't learn Lasukah Shmaitz and Liba Dehilchasa, they don't chazra enough. That's always a serious complaint. That's a big problem. We have in the Balei HaTosfos, they write that we don't really have today a concept of Rabbi Muvuk. The Gemara says there is different dinim. How do you relate to a Rebbe? How do you relate to a Rabbi Muvuk? What's the definition of a Rabbi Muvuk? So the Gemara gives the definition. And Bob Mitzia, Rav Chachma Sehimenu. So the Balei HaTosfos already write, we don't have Rav Chachma Sehimenu. Rav Chachma Sehimenu says, we read Svarim. In the days of the Gemara, everything was Balpeh. Everything was transmitted Balpeh. So it's possible that the 51% of my Torah knowledge came from an individual. But today, most of our Torah knowledge is from reading Svarim. So basically, that was Chacham Avadya was like that. All of his learning was from reading Svarim. He read an awful lot of Svarim. He had a tremendous library, and he read an awful lot of Svarim. But he didn't really have a living Rebbe that he had a Masorah from. He was in contact with many different people, but his traditions were really from the Svarim. He used to read all of the Svarim that were available. I used to learn with a young man, Binyamin Tabori. His father used to be Harav Tzvi Tabori. He used to be on the radio. He used to be in the Jewish agency. So the father used to encourage his son, Binyamin, that he should write a Sefer. So he kept encouraging. So he would always say, write a Sefer, Chacham Avadya will quote you. Not exactly true. He doesn't quote everybody. They tell a story about me, which is not true. It's in print also, this story. And someone told the story last week in Eretz Yisrael. They told me that when Chacham Avad used to come to America, he used to have someone who was an official translator who would say in English what he said. So they said that this official translator told over this Baba Maisa. That never happened. The Chacham Avad, but it could have happened. It could have happened. The Chacham Avad came to the yeshiva. When he was chief rabbi, he always used to come and he spoke in the yeshiva. So in the middle of his shiur, a young man got up in the audience and started to ask him a kasha. Nobody ever asked him kashas in the middle of a shiur, and I would never ask a kasha in the middle of a shiur. So the young man asked a kasha, and he answered the kasha. So the young man kept on asking, but it's not so, so he answered again. Then a third time, the young man kept on insisting, huh? So Chacham Avadya had bad eyes, so he couldn't see from a distance. So he said in Hebrew, Haim kvodohu harav shechter, hayu rabbi Herschel shechter, I read your sefer, I know what you say, Simon, such and such, and I don't agree with you. So the story never happened. But they said, but it could have happened, because he knew, not only did he read the classical Svarim, he read many of the contemporary Svarim as well. He had the attitude you see in a lot of his tshuvas. He doesn't think that it's kedai to be machmer unnecessarily. If we paskin lahakel, so is lahakel. The one who's now the present Sephardic chief rabbi is the son of Chacham Avadya, met Rabbi Genak last year, before he was appointed chief rabbi. So he was asking, Rabbi Genak is the head of the OU Kashrus. So he asked him, what's the OU policy about Mahadrin? Because in Eretz Yisrael they have Kashrus and then they have Mahadrin, Kosher. So Rabbi Genak told them, we don't have such a thing, Mahadrin. By us, Mahadrin means we follow what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that's it. We don't have two levels of Mahadrin. He said, that's what my father holds. Whatever the din is, that's the din. He doesn't hold for Mahadrin. He writes in quite a few of his tshuvas. You're going to be machmer, it's always going to come out at the expense of something else. It's not kedai to be machmer. There are only so many chumras that people can have, so he didn't feel that it made sense to introduce chumras unnecessarily. His style of writing was so beautiful, his svarim are classics, even if you don't agree with what he says. But he writes beautifully, it's easy to read what he says, and it's easy to understand. Other svarim, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein's tshuvas, are very difficult to understand. He doesn't write so clearly. And Chacham Avadya wrote a beautiful, flowing Hebrew with melitzes from Tanakh, and melitzes from Talmud, from Gemara. It's a very beautiful style. I think on two occasions, we were in Eretz Yisrael L'Chodesh Elul, the Svardim start saying Slichas from L'Chodesh Elul on. So Chacham Avad used to say the Slichas on the loudspeaker by the Kosla Maravi. And all of the Svardim were coming to say the Slichas. They had men with tight jeans, with earrings, and had women who were not fully dressed. They were half undressed. All the Sfaradim came to say this. They all knew the Niggun. Everybody knew the Niggun. He was a Ishat Tzibur. He got along. See, some of the other Talmid HaChachamim are very private, like Rabbi Yashiv Pester. Rabbi Yashiv was a very private person. He was not a public person. And Chacham Avadya was a man who got along with the public. When he founded the Shas movement, so he went around with Joey Marr, went to Eretz Yisrael, and he was singing for him. They went from place to place. He was singing, he was darshaning and speaking, and that's how they organized the Shas. And the main purpose why he made the Shas was in order to get chinuch for the Sfaradish children. I have to express my appreciation. My grandchildren learned in, I have grandchildren who live in Chispin, in Golan, and so my daughter sent them first to the Mamlachti Dati school, which was a disaster, and then she realized she has to send them to the Talmud Torah. She didn't want to, but she had no choice. She had to send them to the Talmud Torah. So the Talmud Torah was not funded. It was a big problem. They didn't have enough money, so she had to negotiate to get it accepted as part of the Shas, of the network of Shas schools, and because it was part of Shas, so the government funded it. Then the fellow from the Misrad HaChinuch found out that it has nothing to do with Sfaradim. They have the same percentage of Sfaradim as anywhere else. It's not specifically Sfaradish school. It had nothing to do with the Sfaradim. There were a couple of Sfaradim there, so he was going to cut them off of the cut them out. So at that bris that I attended, I happened to be sitting next to Derry, Aryeh Derry, and I told him what the problem is, because the man to my left told me, ask him what to do. He's a politician, he knows. So he told me what to do, and I did it. And then I spoke to the former chief rabbi, the one who just retired, the Sfaradish rabbi. Rav Amar, Shlomo Amar, so he said he's going to call up Chacham Avadya, and they fixed it. So the Talmud Torah in Chispin is still part of the network of the Shas, and my children, my grandchildren, learned over there. So the Ashkenazim have to be Makatova also, because his network of schools was influential for the Ashkenazim as well. He was an Ishat Tzibur, he has in his Tshuvas. The Shaila was, is it proper to give for the Rabbanot, to give a Hashgacha to a restaurant where they're going to sell, they sell fleshiks and milchiks, and somebody may decide to buy ice cream or a cup of coffee with milk right after having fleshiks, and they won't wait 6 hours. So is it proper to give a hashgacha? So he says, proper, you mechuyev to give a hashgacha. At least you have to be misakim, whatever you can be misakim. At least save the people that they shouldn't eat the Beilus HaTreifas. If they're going to eat milchiks within 6 hours, okay, that's only a minute. But at least give a hashgacha that the flesh is kosher, and give a hashgacha that the milchiks is kosher. You can't be the policeman to control everything. He has in one of his volumes of Tshuvas, he has an essay that he wrote, not really a Tshuva, an essay that he wrote before he published his first Sefer. He quotes that the Nadi Behuda, who lived in the 1700s, made an Isser that no one before the age of 40 is permitted to publish a Sefer on Halacha, Psak Halacha, because the Gemara says, Talmud Shalo Higia Lo Hayroa, one is not ready for Paskin, it shouldn't Paskin. So the Gemara says, V'ad Kama, so the Gemara said, until the age of 40. So the Nadi Behuda has an Isser that he signed with the members of the Bezin, all the other members of the Bezin, that you're not allowed to publish this Sefer. So he obviously was way before, I think he was younger than 30, when he published this first Sefer on Halach. So he explains that was Ohi Rasha, it's not a Din L'Dairis, and then he quotes, others also have such a policy, not to give a Haskamah. Several Rabbanim, several Gedalim had a policy not to give a Haskamah to Sefer Psak Halacha if it was written by a person who was younger than 40. So he got Haskamas on his Sefer. So he writes that. It was also Harashua. He says it doesn't apply. It doesn't always apply. It depends on the place and the person involved. He has many, many different Tshuvas that became very popular. So I just wanted to familiarize you with some of them, or to review. You may have heard all of them, just to review some of them. So he has what I found as a fascinating tshuva, a shaila whether you have to take off your wristwatch when you put on tefillin. So he quotes that it says in Shulchan Aruch, most of the tshuva is irrelevant. It says in Shulchan Aruch that the din of chatzitza only applies on tefillin where you put the shalyar over here. But the rest of the arm, there's no problem of chatzitza. But the problem is that one of the gedolim, the Chabina Rav, wrote a tshuva in Europe before the war that you have to take off the watch. There's an issue of chatzitza. So he writes that it's not correct. But then he writes in the footnote, And I met the Chabina Rav in Yerushalayim after the war when he came to Eretz Yisrael, and I asked him, it says in Shulchan Aruch, so he said, oh, the wristwatch is over there. I thought it was over here. So that's an important line. The whole tshuva of the Shabina Rav was a mistake from day number one. So he gives you a chunk of history there. The tshuva itself that he wrote is ABC. It says in Shulchan Aruch. He says, he recommends, okay, take it off, but Mikaredin is not really a chatzitza. He has a tshuva that many people follow. Rav Soloveitchik didn't agree with this one. That in between Yishtabach and Yotzer Or, it says in the quote the Talmud Yerushalmi, that you're not permitted to be mafsik. You're not allowed to talk. But if someone says a bracha, so he assumes, so he always quotes Marmakam, so he assumes that it's permissible not only to answer Amen. Someone says Bar Nefashas. Someone says Shahakom. So not only is it permissible to say Amen, it's permissible also to say Baruch Hu Baruch Shmai. Even though answering Baruch Hu Baruch Shmai is only a minig, it's not really a din. Answering Amen is a real requirement, a real din. To recite Baruch Hu Baruch Shmai is only a minig. So he says it's still permissible because it's not really a din of hefsik in between Yishtabach and Yetzirah. It's a din not to be Mesiach Das. So you're not being Mesiach Das if you say Baruch Hu Baruch Shmai. Rabbi Soloveitchik didn't think so because he had a diuk in the Rambam. The Rambam writes that normally when somebody says Kaddish, so you say Brichu, Amen, Amen, Brichu, whatever you answer, all the Anias. And then when the Rambam says, the Chazan says Chatzi Kaddish in between Yishtabach and Yotzer Or, so the Rambam only has, you say Amen Yeheshmei Rabba, and you say Amen after the Elam Kom B'chosu B'shirosu. You don't answer the Amen at the beginning, it's Gadevis Gadesh Mei Rabba. You don't say Amen. You only say Amen where there's a Chayva, because that Amen in the first one is only a Minig. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that that's what the Rambam is saying. Since there's a din of hefsik, so you're only allowed to answer Amen that Yimchuyiv to answer. Amen Yeheshmei Rabba and Amen after Liadim Mukhal Bechosav Shirosa. But the other parts of Amen are like Baruch Hu Baruch Shmai, it's only a minik. So he had this duke in the Rambam not to. But Rav Chacham Avadya wasn't so medayik. So he just says, that's the halacha, you're permitted to. I rely on Chacham Avadya has the following shaila. When I daven in yeshivas, so they're nice enough to wait for me to finish my nesrei. When I daven in broyas, they don't wait for me. They don't wait for the rabbi either. So, no, because the rabbi stayed the longest my nesrei. So the rabbi told me, when they see him bowing down for moedim, the chazan should start chazar as hashatz. So I didn't want to miss kedusha. I daven slower than the tzib. I don't want to miss kedusha. I don't want to miss the chazar as hashatz. I want to hear the chazar as hashatz from the beginning to the end. So my father had this practice. For many years, when my father, Zechariah Lebracha, moved to Burr Park, so he used to daven so quickly there, so he couldn't daven so fast. So he had the practice that he would start davening before everybody else. He would come to shul early, start davening 5 minutes, 10 minutes before everybody else, and he would be ahead. So when the chazan would be up to in the middle of Kriya Shema, so my father would start Tefillah Balachash. So my father would finish the Shemoneh Esrei by the time the whole Tzibah finished the Shemoneh Esrei, and he would hear the whole Chazaras HaShatz from the beginning to the end. So Chacham Avadya has a tshuva. You look in the Mishneh Berurah, you get the impression, I'm not so happy about this. Mishneh Berurah seems to imply that the Ikar Tefillah B'Tzibah is that the 10 people saying Obis, the first bracha. Again, Abraham, 10 people should sing one word or another of Obis together. So Chacham Avadya has a tshuva. So he quotes earlier sources. And he recommends this. He says there's, it's okay. And even though the Gemara says it's not proper to be magdim tefilos or tefilos hatzibur, so the pasha pshat the magdim tefilos, I'm going to daven in shul, I'm going to daven before the tzibur, and I'm going to leave. Then I'm going to leave before they're going to get up to kedusha. I'm going to leave before they're up to anything. But over here, you're not leaving. You're magdim. I'm starting tefillah balachash before everybody else because I want to hear the chazar hashat. I'm going to stay till the end. I'm going to stay longer than most of the people. Most of the people run out of shul after aleinu or whatever. I'm going to stay longer. So I rely on Chacham Avadya and that shul that it's permissible to start the tefillah balachash earlier than tzibur if the motivation is to gain the tefillah b'tzibur, to gain the chazar hashat, and to gain anias kedush. He has a tshuva. This, of course, a lot of these tshuvas he's famous for are Ashkenazi positions versus Sephardi positions. Tosfos quotes Rabbi Natan in Brachos that if you have 9 adults and 1 child before bar mitzvah, but the child understands what's going on, he knows how to daven, so you can be mitzarif a katan to the minyan. Years ago, this was a common practice all over. Common practice. Rav Soloveitchik, I remember in Maimonides, when Maimonides was in a section, I think it's still in the section, where all the religious Jews didn't live there. So they were always Mitzarif HaKotten to the Minyan. I remember my father's shul all the time. It used to be Mitzarif HaKotten to the Minyan. So Chacham Avadi says, you're not allowed to do it because that's a chiddush of the Balei HaTosfos. The Svardim don't hold from any of these chiddushim. So he says, Brocha Levatolo, you're not allowed to do Chazaras HaShatz, you're not allowed to say Kiddush. You're never allowed to be Mitzarif HaKotten to a Minyan. That's one of the things that he's strong on. Safik Brochas Lohokil. Samach Beis Lamed. Safik Brochas Lohokil. Whenever there's any Safik Koldehu, even if the Roif HaPoskim say, you should say a bracha, even if the likelihood is that you should say a bracha, but if there's a miut possibility, you shouldn't say a bracha, so that's his policy. Everything is Safik Brochas Lohokil, even though a Roif is not considered a Safik. Usually when you have a Roif, it's not a Safik. But here, we bend over backwards. Any Safik, you have to go Luchumr. Chacham Avadya has a tshuva where he defends the practice that many of the Svardim have, that when the Chazan begins, the Chazaras HaShatz, he says, Hashem Svasa Tiftach out loud. Magen Avram, who is an Ashkenazi, comes up with this idea. Magen Avram quotes from the Kisvei HaArizal, the name of the Arizal, that when the Chazan repeats the Shemoneh Esrei, he should say Hashem Svasa Tiftach, but he should say it Balachash, because what does it have to do with the whole Tzibur? That's his personal prayer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then the Mishnah Brura raises a bit of an objection, but he leaves it like that. So Chacham Avadya quotes, there is a Sefer Siach Yitzchak, the Daf Yomi is starting Yuma now. So if you'll find every other page in the Gemara Yuma, the normal Gemara, it says usually on a Tosfos Yerushalmi, look in Shin Yud, look in the Siach Yitzchak. Siach Yitzchak is a Sefer on Yuma written by a Sfardish Gadol, and he has Haggadahs on the Tosfos Yerushalmi, he has Kiddushim on the whole Masechta. So this Siach Yitzchak also wrote a Sefer on the Nusach HaTfilah of the Shemoneh Esrei. So he has a comment, he quotes this Magen Avraham on the first page in the Sefer. And he says, he looked in the Kisvei HaRizal, it doesn't exist. He says, the meaning of the Beis HaKnesses of the HaRizal, meaning by many other Sfardim, is that they do say, Hashem Svasa Tiftach out loud. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say also, that the more correct is that the Chazan should say, Hashem Svasa Tiftach out loud. It's an integral part of the Shemoneh Esrei. Mishnah Berurah has a Svar that it may be that it's Ma'akev. And he thinks the Chazan should say the whole Shemoneh Esrei out loud, including the Pasuk before, and Yul HaRatzon after the Pasuk after should be said out loud. By Chassidim there's a minig, I don't know what the minig here is, that on the yard site they leave at Tachnam. So Chacham Avadya is upset about that, so he pins the blame on Chassidish Rebbe. He quotes the Minkatcha. The one who wrote the Mincha Saluza, so he has a Sefer He'oris, the Muki Yoracham, he has He'oris on Shulchan Aruch, so he attacks this practice of leaving at Tachnam. When there's a yard site, the Rebbe says every day of the year there's going to be a yard site. There's a Tana or an Amora or a Chassidish Rebbe who died every day of the year. So he's very upset about that. But then on the other hand, he endorses the minig that some of the poskim have, that if you're making a siyum, we do this in the yeshiva. Once in a long while we make a siyum. We don't ever make a siyum on a mesich, we make a siyum on a perek. But we spent the whole year learning a perek. At the end of the year, some of the boys make a siyum on the whole mesich. So when you make a siyum, and then you dav mincha right away, so then you leave out tachnun by the siyum. That has mekoiris in the Gemara, because what are you celebrating in Chamishasa Ba'av? The Mishnah says Chamishasa Ba'av was a tremendous holiday. That's when the girls were dancing and they made all the shiduchim. So we leave out tachnun Chamishasa Ba'av. What are you celebrating there? The Gemara has different suggestions. So one of the suggestions is that Chamishasa Ba'av, the heat of the summer is over, and then it's no longer as hot as it was before, so they finished chopping all the wood for the logs on the Mizbeach, and then from that time on, they're not going to chop any more wood, because the heat of the sun would bake out the worms in the logs, and after Chamishas Av, it's not going to be that hot. So you celebrate the fact that you completed a mitzvah. So that's what the bar mitzvah is all about, is celebrating the fact that that's what a siyum mesichta is all about. You're celebrating the fact that you made a siyum, that you completed a mitzvah, a unit of a mitzvah. So just like we live out the tachnun chamishas above, so that's what the poskim from 100 years ago, 150 years ago, so they write the minig that you leave out tachnun. So he endorses this minig. Then he says also, I think this is only Svardish minig. Ashkenazim don't have this. If there's a bochur who becomes bar mitzvah on that day, so then you leave out tachnun to cover the bar mitzvah. By Ashkenazim, they usually assume that when it says in the siddur, when there's a base mem, you leave out tachnun. It means when there's a bris milah. It doesn't mean a bar mitzvah. But the Svardim have a meaning that base mem means a bar mitzvah. So they leave out tachnun whenever there's a boy who became bar mitzvah bo bayom. But he's upset.
When there's
the bris, too? Yeah, that everybody has a meaning. You leave it out when there's a bris too. But in the siddur, it doesn't say twice. It just says when there's a base mem, you leave out tachnun. So Beis Mam obviously means a bris milah, doesn't mean a bar mitzvah, but that, he says that's their meaning, and he said that's okay. Same thing, right. So the Rambam says you should always say that normally when you answer Kaddish, either say Brichu or Brichu or say Amen. But in between Yishtabach and Yoitzer, so he leaves that Aranim. Because that's not a Chayva, that's only a Minig, right? Right. So that Amen is also, that's only a Minig, that's not Medina. So the Rambam left that out in between Yishtabach and Yoitzer, that Amen he left out. That's right. Today, I was in shul. I went to Dab Minchan, an early minion. So someone walked in, gave an aliyah. His daughter just had a baby. Just came from the hospital. His daughter had a baby, makes a mishaber for the daughter. And then they said, that was the mother's name. So he turns around and he asks me, is that the minion? Did you say the mother's name? Or you say the father's name? So I say that this fellow learned in Brisk. He's a yekka, but he learned in Brisk. So... So I said, that's the minig all over the world when you say a tefillah for a chayla. So you say the mother's name, but briska, don't say it like that. So Chacham Avadya has a tshuva about this also. He has tshuvas about a lot of things. So he says, so nisht bedavke, you don't have to necessarily say the mother's name. There's nothing wrong with saying the father's name. It's a strange minig, and the achrenim break their heads. Why the minig is like that, that you davke say the mother's name when you say a tefillah for a chayla. So he says you can say the father's name also.
His father always said the name of the mother.
Oh, yeah?
Always.
Uh-huh. So he has when a tshuva.
When you make ashkava or mishberach, anything is the mother.
Yeah. When they had the hashkava for Chacham Avadya, so they asked me to say it. So they gave me his mother's name.
His mother.
Yeah. They gave me his mother's name. Yeah. But he has in his sefer that when you say a tefillah for a chayla, it doesn't make a difference. Mother's name, father's name. It's the same thing. He doesn't see that it's necessary. He has an interesting tshuva. He talks about you're not allowed to eat before you daven, but what if the eating before the daven is going to help you daven? So then it says, you're permitted to. So what if the chazan thinks that by eating a raw egg, he'll have a better voice? It works? I don't know. I was never a chazan. So chazanim have such an attitude. So he says, okay, so you're allowed to eat the raw egg before the davening because it helps you daven well. So the shalas, they have to say a bar nefesh, it's safety hand. You have to say a bracha, a raw egg is a food. The shalas, well, you have to say bar nefesh. So on liquids, you have to drink a revius. A revius is a beta or machza, the volume of an egg and a half. And on solids, on foods, you have to eat a kazayis. A kazayis is either a third of an egg or a half of an egg. So what status does the raw egg have? It's liquidy, but it's not that it doesn't pour like, it's not a beverage. It doesn't pour like water. So it's a discussion in the poskim. So he's machmir. He says that Sofik brachas lahakal, that's a recurrent theme in Islam, always. Sofik brachas lahakal. Whenever there's any Sofik koldo, he leave out the bracha. So he says we have to be choshish for that opinion that the raw egg is dina kimashke. Usually by Ashkenazim it's assumed not so. Ashkenazim assumed that the difference between oichlum and mashkim is not liquid versus solid, but rather food versus beverage. The raw egg is nishkin beverage. Raw egg is not a beverage. Schnapps is also not a beverage. Even in Russia where they drink a lot of vodka, they don't drink it like a beverage. They drink it when they want to relax. So really, that's what the Chassidish Gedolim also have like that. The Schnapps al Pidin is a Meichel, it's not a Mashke, and they have, and the Shia for Bracha Achrona should really be Kazayis, not a Reviz. Mishnah Berurah quotes the Chayodim like that. That if you have a bowl of soup, how much soup do you have to drink in order to say Bracha Achrona? So he says Kazayis, because soup is an Oichel, it's not a Mashke. That's what the Kozhik lover, who was killed by the Nazis, has a tshuva. So he comes to defend the Chassidish and Minig. So he says the reason why they don't have a revi is because there was a Chassidish Rebbe published a commentary on Mishnayos. I forgot the name. They have it in Broya Shul, the Chassidish and Mishnayos. So I forgot the name. I forgot the name. I forgot what was the name of the Chassidish Rebbe. I forgot. So he quotes the Kozhik lover quotes this Chassidish Rebbe that the schnapps is an oichel. It's not a mashke because a mashke means a beverage as opposed to a food. It's a liquid food, and therefore the shir is kazayas. So the little schnapps glass has a kazayas. That's exactly the reason why Rabbi Chaim Volozhin has said that you can't say kiddush over schnapps because schnapps is a meichel. So he says like saying kiddush over a bowl of soup. You have to say kiddush either over a cup of wine or chamar medina. Chamar medina means another beverage that you mechabit people with, but you're not mechabit. A bowl of soup is a meichel. So that's where Rav Chaim Volozhin and Tainus, where the Chassidim, Rav Chaim Volozhin and Tainus, a lot of things against the Chassidim. He was a Talmud of the Vilna Gaon. So he says, what are they doing? They're making Kiddush over Schnapp. Schnapp is a Michael, it's not a Mash.
In that case, you have to say Nala
Michi
afterwards.
That's a question, what the Bracha should be. So Taisus and Brachas asks a question, how come we don't say Bari Minim Zainus on beer? You say Bari Pri Hadama on vegetable soup, even if all the vegetables were strained out, even if it's totally liquefied, because it's cooked with the vegetables, they say Bar Piadoma. So Taisa says, why don't you say Bar Minim Zainas on the beer? So Taisa gives three answers. And the answer that's popular in Shulchan Aruch and the Magen Avraham, every other page there is that all beverages are shahakal. So that's good on beer. Beer is a beverage. People drink beer when they're thirsty. But schnapps, people don't drink when they're thirsty. Schnapps is really an oichel. So you go back again. So schnapps should really be Bar Minim Zainas. Shouldn't really be shahakal, be the evid, yotan shahakal, but the lechatchila is questionable. If you really soak the grain or you cook the grain in the water, so it's a question, it shouldn't be shahakal. It's not the same as beer, and maybe the bracha achrena should be alamichi. Questionable. Very questionable. One of the members of the mishpacha of Chacham Avadya delivered a hesped. So he mentioned in the hesped that when he used to eat by Chacham Avadya, so very often, he didn't explain the whole hesped that he gave. He didn't explain things well. He made it up as if Chacham Avadya was joke college. Everybody was laughing. He got everybody to laugh. I didn't think it was Dar Cheretz, the whole hesped. So one of the things that he mentioned was that Chacham Avadya, every time when he would bench, he would say, he was walking around already. So he said to him, Saba, how do you walk around? The Gemara says you have to say Birchas Hamazon in a sitting position. So he said, no, Hatayv HaMeitiv, the fourth bracha, Hatayv HaMeitiv is not part of the benching, even with the Rabbanon. The one who said the Hesped didn't explain it. He didn't explain it well. Even with the Rabbanon, there are rais from the Shulchan Aruch like that, that the fourth bracha, Hatayv HaMeitiv, is not even part of the benching with the Rabbanon. He didn't explain, what do you mean he started walking around? Walking around to get a Gemara in order to sit down to learn. That's why, not walking around in kibbutzing. He's walking around to get his Gemara. He was always sitting and learning all day and all night. They say he stayed up nights. He used to stay up Leil Shabbos. He used to sit and learn Bahasmada Meruba. So that Taka says in Shulchan Aruch that Taiva Meitav is not part of the benching. So strictly speaking, you don't have to sit. For many years in all of the religious schools that they had in Eretz Yisrael for the women, for the girls and for the women, so they only taught Ashkenazi Psak Halacha, and they didn't realize, I don't think it was B'mezid, they didn't realize that the Sfarim have a totally different tradition in Psak Halacha. So Chacham Avadya was Machzer HaTorah LeYoshna. He said by the Sfarim, they paskan like the Rambam and like the Shulchan Aruch, that women do not recite the bracha when they shake a lulav and when they sit in the sukkah. They don't recite a bracha. They can't say Kedushana B'mitzvah. So B'tzivonu on a mitzvah says this as Magrama. If they want to volunteer the mitzvah, fine. But they shouldn't say a bracha, and it's going to be a bracha L'batol. So he encouraged that when they have Sephardic girls going to schools, they should teach them the Sephardic Psak Halacha. That is the Sephardic Psak Halacha. It wasn't fair. That's what some fellow in Eretzel put out a book, Mimoran Ad Moran, from Moran Habes Yosef till Moran Chacham Avadya, about...
Why is the Bracha Levatala? The daughter of Rabbi Meir was putting tefillin. Did she say bracha or didn't she say bracha?
Doesn't say in the Gemara. So the Rambam says she did not say a bracha.
She did not say.
That's how the Rambam, that's how Rabbi Yosef Kara writes in the Shulchan Aruch. So the Sfardim followed the Rambam and Rabbi Yosef Kara. The Ashkenazim followed the Rabbi Natam in the Taisus that the women do say a bracha.
So if they say bracha, everyone wants to be the bento.
No, but each one should follow their... No, each group should follow their tradition. So the Sfardim should follow their...
But if they did say, it should not be bracha levatala.
But the Sfardim...
should be yotze.
No, but the Sfardim hold the yotze. The yotze, the mitzvah of tefillin, the yotze. But the bracha is not proper, so that's bracha levatala. So each group should follow their psak. So in this Sefer, Mimoran Ad Moran, one of the main themes that he has is that in the early years after Hakamas HaMedina, the overwhelming majority of the Dayanim were Ashkenazim, and they were forcing, without realizing, they were forcing Ashkenazi Psak on the Svardim. And that wasn't really right. For Svardim, you should give a Svardi Psak. The text of the Get is a little different. The Nusach HaGet is different for Svardim and Ashkenazim. My father used to give a lot of Get in here. My father used to be with the RCA Bezin. So then, my father said, according to his records, the more people getting divorced than getting married. He was hardly ever invited to weddings in many years of his life, but there were divorces every week. People getting divorced all the time. So when you have Sfardim getting divorced, you have to write a different nusach and get Kol Shemachanucha Disle. By Ashkenazi, you don't write that. You write all the names. You don't write Kol Shemachanucha Disle. So that's what Chacham Avadya changed it. He made an awareness that for Sfardim, you should give Sfardim Psak. You shouldn't force Ashkenazi Psak on the Sfardim. But in this book, Mimor and Admorim, so he writes that Chacham Avadya held Kasherosa Ken Yasa Lo. For so many years, the Ashkenazim are forcing their Psak on the Sfardim. So now we're going to force Sfardim Psak on the Ashkenazim. That's a little ridiculous. That's a little ridiculous. That's a question, okay, but if they're both Svardim, so then for sure you should write the Svardim Nusach and the Get. If it's a mixed marriage, you got a question. Right. Tfilas HaDerech is Yodua. It says in the Gemara, you only recite Tfilas HaDerech if you're going to travel a parsa. A parsa means 4 mil. So the Mishnah Brura quotes from the Poskim, Ashkenazi Poskim, that 4 mil is a distance. If you go by car, you can go 4 mil in 5 minutes, in less than 5 minutes. And Chacham Avadya follows other poskim that 4 mil is an amount of time. 4 mil, 1 mil is 22 and a half minutes, so 4 mil is an hour and a half. So if you're going to travel less than an hour and a half, so you don't say Tfilas HaDerech. So that's Sfardi Psak is like that. Ashkenazim is follow the Mishnah Brura. He points out in one of his tshuvas something that in America, I never saw this, but in Eretz Yisrael it's a common thing. They have a lot of times a bris late in the afternoon. So Chacham Avadya writes that's not right. That the poskim say that that's a violation of Zriz Magdim and the mitzvahs. Lechatchil you should do at the crack of dawn as early as possible. But if you do it later, it's also okay. But if you're going to postpone the bris to after Chatzos, that's really a violation of Zriz Magdim and the mitzvahs. In the Shulchan Aruch, they quote a tshuva that was supposedly written by the Oruch. One wrote the dictionary. The Oruch lived in Rome, days of the Rishonim. The Oruch wrote a tshuva to Rashi. That's what they quote. Questionable whether the tshuva was written to Rabbeinu Shlomo. That's the shot of Rabbeinu Shlomo as Rashi. Rashi quotes the Oruch. It's possible, but they had the mail delivery between Rome and where Rashi lived. Questionable. So they have the tshuva. Rashi, whoever Rabbeinu Shlomo was, asked the shaila, if you have a bris on Rosh Hashanah, when do you do the bris? So the Oruch, the Shulchan Aruch quotes, you perform the bris right before Tkiyah Shofar, because we say, Zchor bris Avram, Akedas Yitzchok. So the bris, Milo is the bris Avram, and the Tkiyah Shofar is Zechel Akedas Yitzchok. So that's the order it should be. So the Prima Godim has in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch, why do they all of a sudden ask a child, when you perform the bris, when do you perform the bris, and any other day of the year? The meaning always was, you do the bris Milo right before Aleinu. At the end of the davening before Aleinu, says Aleinu l'shabech l'adon akol, that we are different from the other umas ha'olam. So you always perform the bris before Aleinu. Do the same on Rosh Hashanah. So what was all of a sudden a shaila? So the people got him says because in the days of the Oruch, the minig was that they had so many piyutim, they're not going to get to say Aleinu after Musab till after Chatzos. So that's a violation of Zvizim Makdim and the mitzvahs. So that's why Rashi was asking, when should you perform the bris earlier? At what point? So that's what the Oruch says. Shulchan Aruch quotes it. You should perform the bris milah right before the tkiyah shofar. Chacham Avadya has a tshuva. He, in the Rabbanut, he had to participate in gerus. Many non-Jews were converting. So when a ger would be mizgar, when it would be a man, he would insist that, let's say, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, first thing he should do after he gets out of the mikveh, he should say Birchas HaTorah. Because whatever he davened in the morning, he wasn't yotze the Birchas HaTorah. He really shouldn't say a non-Jew who's practicing before he converts, can say a bracha, shakol niyeh medvar, can say a motzi lach menorah, but he can't practice say a sheker shana b'mitzoy se v'tzivon, it's just not true. A woman, Ashkenazim, have to practice, women can say a sheker shana b'mitzoy se v'tzivon, because they have the same level of kedushas yitzol that the men have. But a non-Jew who's practicing mitzvahs, they find that he wants to volunteer the mitzvah, but he simply can't say kedushas shana b'mitzoy se v'tzivon, so he can't say brichas ha-tayr in the morning. Shabachar manu kol ha-men, nosan lanu ha-tayrus, he can't say brichas ha-tayr. So Chacham Avadya writes that he insisted every time he did a gerus in the middle of the day that the ger should say Birchas HaTorah right away. He discusses in the same tshuva. Maybe there's no avera bracha levatala, but it's dervish karim. It's not true. So how can he talk when you say bracha? You're talking to the Rebbe Shalom. He's saying something that's just not true. It's just not true.
But what's the
message?
It's
dervish
karim.
You talk to the Baruch Shalom and say something that's nonsense. So what kind of a talking is that?
What's the nizah? What's the azara?
You're making a joke out of the Baruch Shalom. make a joke out of tefillah, out of shevach. It's just not true. How can you say shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's just not true.
Would we allow you to have an eventual chinuch? This comes up all the time in a lot of hafanah for gerus.
Yeah, okay. Usually in the days of the Gemara, chinuch was only on young children. And today, chinuch is on adults also. We have adults. That's what the Lubavitcher Rebbe wrote a whole essay when he had the whole campaign. The Lubavitcher Rebbe got all the chassidim to ask everybody, did you shake a lulav today? If you didn't, are you Jewish? And you shake a lulav, and they get you to shake a lulav. So he would get the people to shake a lulav and to say the bracha. So at that time, the Satmar Rebbe wrote a whole attack against the Lubavitcher Rebbe, but you're getting people to shake a lulav and say bracha. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in Torah Min HaShemayim. So the bracha that they say is a bracha levatola. They don't believe in anything. So you're getting them to do an aver, and not only are they not fulfilling a mitzvah because they don't believe in Torah and Hashemayim, they don't believe in mitzvahs, you're causing them to do an aver. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe wrote a response. And he wrote, you're right, it's a bracha levatola, but it's mitam chinuch. We're going to get them. We're going to get them in the end. We're going to get them to be observant. So even though right now he doesn't believe, and it's a bracha levatola, in the days of the Gemara, chinuch was only for young children. And today you have to do chinuch even on adults. There's chinuch for the ger also. But the ger is not yotze. Even if he did say the bracha in the morning, he's not yotze for the bracha. He has to say the bracha after he converts. So then Chacham Abadi in the same tshuva discusses what in the Olam HaYeshivas, this is a famous topic. A child, the day before he becomes by mitzvah, he said Birchas HaTorah in the morning. Then he's going to say Birchas HaTorah tomorrow morning. But he comes by mitzvah at night. The day, by us, the day begins with the night time. So how does he say Kriya Shema at night? He didn't say Birchas HaTorah. The kid is going to learn. He's going to say a pilpul the night of that he becomes by mitzvah, but he didn't say Birchas HaTorah. The Birchas HaTorah that he said in the morning, he was a katan. So you can't be yotze after you're a gadol with the Birchas HaTorah that said when you're a katan. So Chacham Avadya works on this issue. So in the Olam HaYeshivas, everybody knows that the Beis HaLevi told his son, Rab Chaim, and told all of his boys, that when they say Ava Soilam at night, they should have in mind to be Yotze with Birchas HaTorah. Because the Gemara says if a person didn't say Birchas HaTorah before Shachris, and he said Ava Rabba, and he said Bikavana, Ava Rabba, he should be Yotze Birchas HaTorah, so he's Yotze Birchas HaTorah with Ava Rabba. So the same should be true with Ava Soilam at night, same thing. So that's famous from the Beis HaLevi. So Chacham Avadya, somehow, he lives in a different world, so he doesn't know that solution. So he quotes a different solution from the earlier poskim, which he recommends. Tell the child the morning before he becomes by mitzvah, when he says the Birchas HaTorah in the morning, he should have in mind only till tonight. He should only cover the learning that he does till tonight, and then tonight he's not covered, so he has to say another bracha. And he goes into a dissertation, is that valid? Is that acceptable? So he, bottom line, he thinks that is acceptable, to have in mind like that. Chacham Avadya is famous. There was a big machlokes. We have a mitzvah of tefillas kelim. If you buy forks and knives, you buy pots and pans, metal, so you have to be tevel and a mikveh. If it ever belonged to an non-Jew, you have a mitzvah of tefillas kelim. We assume that tefillas kelim on metal kelim is min haTorah. Then the Gemara sounds like it says that tefillas kelim on glass kelim is, we assume, is midirabban. So the shad is, what about plastic? Is there a mitzvah tefillas kelim? So Chacham Avadya says no. In the days of the Gemara, they didn't have any plastic, so the Chachamim never made a takana. So there's no din d'oraisa, and there's no din d'rabbanan. Nish nemchuy. The Minchas Yitzchak, dying wise from the Eidah Haredes, has a tshuva where he's machmer. He thinks that you should do tefillas kelim on the plastic kelim, and he writes in his tshuva that Chacham Avadya has a tshuva about this one. His tshuva, so Chacham Avadya wrote a later tshuva. He says he misrepresented my opinion. He says that you do need tefillas kelim. He says, look on Chacham Avadya. He didn't say what I said. I say not so. I say, you don't have to do tefillas kelim. What did he quote me over there? Chacham Avadya wrote many svarim. So he had a chance to write in a later sefer that he was, from the context, you get the mistaken impression. So he says he don't need tefillas kelim. Then he speaks about Ashkenazim have a minig that the Magen Avraham quotes, that we don't kasher from fleshiks to milchiks. If a keli was fleshiks for a while, you don't switch from fleshiks. He says, Sfarim don't have such a minig, so they don't have to observe this chumrah. Many Ashkenazim also say, the Archav Shulchan thinks there never was such a minig by Ashkenazim either. He denies it. But he says, by the Sfarim for sure, they don't have such a minig. And then he writes, the Sfarim follow what it says in Rabbi Yosef Kara writes, that glass is not boleya, so you can use one set of dishes for fleshiks, for milchiks, for trei, for chometz, for pesach, for everything. Glass is not baleh. You don't have to kasha the glass. So he says, we can stick to our opinion. We don't have to be machmah for what the Ramah wrote. The Ramah's chum is only for Ashkenazim. That's a recurrent theme. Whatever the Ramah writes, it's only for Ashkenazim, and it doesn't affect the Sfarim. We should follow our traditions. He discusses there are two tzuras ha'osiyos in a Sefer Torah. You have to have ksav ashuris. So there are several letters in the ksav ashuris that are questionable. The tzaddik is the main letter that's questionable. How you write the N, if you ever noticed, N-C-A-S-Y, tzaddik, so they write the yud. A tzaddik has two yuds on top, and then you have the bottom, the neck, and the bottom, the base. So the question is, the yud on the right side, are they both in the same direction with the neck, like two heads, with the neck on the right side, or are they neck to neck? So the N-C-A-S-Y tzaddik is Arizal. And a normal Sefer Torah by Ashkenazim is Ksav Bes Yosef. It's based on a Zohar. It's based on a passage in the Zohar. The Zohar says that the Tzaddik represents Adam and Chava, who were created du partzufim. Originally, Adam and Chava were created together, the Gemara has one opinion, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu separated them. So when they were created together, so were they both faces facing in the same direction, or were Adam and Chava facing opposite directions? So it's a contradiction in the Zohar, in two places. So the Vilna Gaon says that the answer is, before they sinned, they were both facing the same direction. All of mankind got along together, everybody's working for the same goal. And after the Chet of the Eis Hadas, then they were facing in different directions, nobody gets along with anybody else, and it's back to back, instead of being looking in the same direction. Rabbi Soloveitchik once said, he said over this word from the Vilna Gaon, and he said, as he gets older, he becomes more pessimistic, and he thinks that it never would. He can't believe that human beings ever got along together. He thinks that it couldn't have been. It must have been that it was always back to back. It was never facing in the same direction. He can't believe it the way people don't get along together. Anyway, so these are the two surahs ha'isiyas of the tzaddik. So it's yadua. It was very yadua. Chacham Avadia doesn't quote very yadua in Eretz Yisrael that the Chazanish said that it's very questionable if you have ksav ari for the tefillin and the mezuzah, whether it's kosher or not. If you have in a Sefer Torah, so you can be mekel, because in a Sefer Torah, the Rambam's opinion is you can learn Kriyas HaTorah from a printed chumash. So we don't follow that opinion. The Rambam in a tshuva writes like that. The Rambam in the Mishnah Torah writes not so. But the Kesem Mishnah quotes that the Rambam in a tshuva writes you can learn Kriyas HaTorah from a pasul of Sefer Torah. So you have always the tzirut. Maybe the tzaddik is kosher, and even if it's not kosher, the Rambam says you always rely on the Rambam's opinion. You can learn from a pasul of Sefer Torah as well. But in tefillin and mezuzah, there's nothing to rely on. If it's not kosher, it's not kosher. You can't say you can be yetzer tefillin from a pasul of peret tefillin. So the Chazanish, it's yadu. The Chazanish said that people shouldn't use ksav ari because according to those who follow ksav Beis Yosef, it may be pasul. So all of Chassidim started screaming at the Chazanish. So he said maybe it's kosher. maybe it is kosher, but he recommended you should. So Chacham Avad, you knew what he was getting himself into. So he says that they're both kosher. Ksabe says, and even if half of the tzaddiks and the tefillin are like this and half of them are like that, it's not a tie to the sas. You don't have to take a stand in Manam Shach. Both Tzuras Ha'is are kosher. Either Tzuras Ha'is is kosher, and you don't have to be so medactic about that. He talks a lot of times about the Sfardim who lived in Chutz Lord and they were noig chumras like Ashkenazim. Then they moved to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, the majority of the population are Sfardim, so they still have an obligation to observe all of the Ashkenazi chumras that they observe in Chutz Lord. So he says it was a minik toiv. You need hataras nedarim, okay? But he said he recommends they should do hataras nedarim to follow in the traditions of their ancestors, to follow the Sfardim minhagim and the Sfardi shitas. He writes something that a lot of people don't know. The Nedi Behuda writes this in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch and the Dogen Levavah. The only time you need a Hataras Nedarim if a person has a Minig Toiv is if from now on he no longer wants to observe the Minig. What if a person gets stuck b'shas hadchak? Let's say a fellow is from a Chassidish family, he never eats Gibrachs on Pesach. Then he gets stuck. One Pesach, he has no way to go. It happens sometimes. Talmud is in Eretz Yisrael and he's from a Chassidish family. He knows where to go. He has to eat by his uncle, eat by his sister. And then they do eat kibrachs. So what should he do? So the Nadi Behuda says, if for the rest of his life he plans to observe the chumrah of kibrachs, just on one occasion he got stuck b'shas hadchak, so for that you don't need hataras nedarim. Only if mikana l'habo, you You make up your mind, you're not going to observe the Chumrah anymore. So Chacham Avadi writes like that. A lot of people who think not so, a lot of people. Now, so the Rechit Gobes used to be Machmer. Whenever he had to violate some minik toiv, when he had a bad back, and normally when you say tachon and you lean over, so sometimes he couldn't lean over because he had such a bad back, so he would make a hataras nedarim before mincha that he's not going to be able to do nefilas apayim. So the pashtus is like Chacham Avadya said. That's what the Nedi Behuda said, that if it's just chad pami that you're going to violate the minik, for that you don't need hataras nedarim. He speaks about minik in Yerushalayim, everybody knows is that they have a siren go off 40 minutes before the sunset on Friday afternoon, and everybody knows you have to be Mekabel Shabbos early. This is a minig from Europe, by Ashkenazim, apparently from Eastern Europe. Rav Soloveitchik said where he came from, the minig was all year long, they used to bench licht 30 minutes before the Shkia, and there at Yom Kippur, they were bench licht 60 minutes before the Shkia, twice as long. So service Yom Kippur, twice as long, a whole hour. So Chacham Avadya writes, what do you mean? Eretz Yisrael, all the years they were Sfardim. Most of the people, they were a generation where there were no Ashkenazim there. All of a sudden, Ashkenazim took over. He said, there never was the minig in Yerushalayim. And he says, you don't have to observe the minig of 40 minutes. And he personally he said they don't even observe the minig of 18 minutes. The Blazer Nimitz and the Sefer Yireim understands that the last 18 minutes before sunset is Bein Hashmashos. So that's why the common practice comes from that the women bench licht prior to 18 minutes, because the last 18 minutes, according to the Sefer Yireim, is Bein Hashmashos. So he says, we don't have that minig either. In the Kabbalah to serve Shabbos 10 minutes before the Shkia Ginuk. He was very outspoken. By Ashkenazim, the minig clearly is that when the women bench licht, the women either daven mincha ready, they're not going to daven mincha. So when the women bench licht, they light all the candles first, then they say the bracha at the end. Because of a strange concern, Rabbi Kivega writes on Shulchan Aruch, he doesn't really understand, a strange concern, when the woman's going to say the bracha, so that's Kabbalah Tosefes Shabbos, so then she's not allowed to be madlik the next. So Chacham Avadya says, the Sfardim never had the meaning, and it's not correct, and the women should say the bracha, Ovel Asiyasim, it's not proper to say the bracha, Lachar Asiyasim. The Rambam writes that if a person didn't say the bracha prior to performing the mitzvah, and he did the mitzvah, Masha Nasa Kvar Nasa, he shouldn't say the bracha, it'll be a bracha Levatala. So the Ashkenazim don't follow that Rambam, but the Sfardim do. So that's what he tines, that women should say the bracha before Hadlokas HaNeres. In Eretz Yisrael, even people who wait 72 minutes after Shabbos, after Shkia, Matzoy Shabbos, they wait 96 minutes, whatever they wait. When you come to Eretz Yisrael, half an hour after the Shkia, the sky is full of all the stars, and nobody, hardly anybody waits. So Chacham Avadya insists, no. Since Rav and Rishonim say you got to wait 72 minutes, you got to wait 72 minutes. Whoop. He had Chumras too. He didn't just have Kulis. He had Chumras also. In Hilchas Shabbos, he has a lot of fascinating tshuvas. Everybody knows in America, Rav Moshe Feinstein came up with a chiddush that you're not allowed to use toothpaste. So he explains why he doesn't agree with Rav Moshe Feinstein. He talks about using a bar of soap. Also, many Gedolim didn't hold from the Chumra of using. The Ramah says you're not allowed to use a bar of soap because whenever you use the soap, so part of it is going to disappear. A 20th of an inch or something, a certain percentage, after you use it 1,000 times, so the whole bar of soap disappears. Obviously, every time you use it, so you're using a little bit, you're rubbing away part of the surface, they're making a new smooth surface. So to create a smooth surface is a malach of mimarech. So Chacham Avadya quotes all of those Sfardim and say, it's a malach of mimarech. If you have a rough surface, if you have a piece of wood that's rough, and you sandpaper it down, then you make a smooth surface. But if it has a smooth surface, then you make another smooth surface. So he tines that's permissible. So he says there's nothing wrong. He quotes earlier, Sfardim Shepaskim, there's nothing wrong with using soap. The Ashkenazim follow the Ramah. The Ramah has that chumah not to use soap. And he thinks there's nothing wrong with the Sfardim Shemini. He has a very fascinating tshuva. The Rabbeinu Tam is quoted by the Ran, Amasecha Shabbos in Perikol Kisvei. Rabbi Natam says that women are mechuyev in shalshudis, even on a short Shabbos, and women are mechuyev in lechem mishnah. A lot of families, the husband says amoyti, cuts the challah, and the wife is in the kitchen. She didn't even wash until she's done yet. By the time she comes to the table, so the challah is all sliced already. She doesn't have amoyti on lechem mishnah. So Rabbi Natam says that's not right. The women are obligated in lechem mishnah. Women are also obligated in shalshudis. And he gives one reason. He says, because often the mitzvah of Shalashudas and the mitzvah of Lechem Mishnah is to bring back to mind the miracle of the man falling down in the Midbar, and a double portion fell down on Friday, and Erev Yontav, Erev Shabbos, and it says three times Hayom, they should eat three meals on Shabbos, Zeichel Amon, so the women were also Zeichel to the Nes, Afen Habir Sanes, so that's why the women are also obligated. The Ran agrees with the Rabbeinu Tam, but he says he doesn't see why the Rabbeinu Tam had to come on to such an explanation. Why didn't the Rabbeinu Tam say simply that women are mechuyev in kiddush because zachav v'shamer b'dibur echanem? Everything is one package deal. It's one kedusha sayyim that obligates us in all of the mitzvahs of Shabbos. So since the kedusha sayyim is relevant for the women as far as the isa malacha, so it's mechayev the women to observe all the mitzvahs sayyim also. So Shlomo Kluger lived in abroad by the chassidim. So he writes by the chassidim the women don't eat shalashudas and the women don't not careful about lecha mishnah. So he says, well, the Ran disagrees with Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with the Ran, so he left with nothing. So therefore the women don't have to have shalashudas, and therefore the women don't have to have lacha mishnah. So Chacham Avadya Yosef says, what did he wave a magic wand? What did he do here? They both said the same thing. They both said the women are mechuyev. They gave two very different explanations. But halacha l'maaseh, they both said the same thing. The women are just as obligated as the men. And lacha mishnah and shalashudas. So he quotes this pella. Shlomo Kluger, it's a pella. Then he quotes that the Minkacha has a tshiva. Why by the chassidim they dance on Shabbos? The Mishnah says in the end of Beitza, you're not allowed to dance on Shabbos a Yontav because we're afraid a person will get so carried away with the dancing he may fix a musical instrument in order to enhance the dancing. Shem Yisak and Kleshir. So by the chassidim they always used to dance on Shabbos. So the Minkacha writes, no, the chassidim dance with the Hislavas, the Kedusha. So since they have a Hislamas the Kedusha, so there's no chashash that is going to lead to any Yisr Chilul Shabbos. So Chacham Avad is making fun. So he says in the Tanoim, unfortunately, didn't have a Hislamas the Kedusha. The Heilige Tanoim had a bigger Hislamas the Kedusha than all the Chassidish Rebbes. He said, the Heilige Tanoim, I'm not allowed to dance on Shabbos. He's not allowed to dance. By Svardin, they're more makbid not to dance. So he's unhappy about the Minkach's Kula. Chacham Avadya has this kula, it's not his, he quotes from the Svardish Poskim from the last 100 years by Ashkenazim, when we put a blech, so we know the redinim of Hachazara. If you left a kettle of tea on top of the blech, so you can pour the tea and put it back. If you left a pot of soup on, so you can take it off and put it back. If you're still holding it and it's still hot, and so on. And so on. So what if you have a kedera, al gabi kedera? What if you have one pot of food on top of the blech, then you have another pot on top of the bottom pot? So kedera, al gabi kedera. So we assume the upper kedera is not called, two opinions in Shulchan Aruch, and we make a lot on that. The upper kedera is not considered al gabi ha'esh, and there's no prohibition of hachazar. The whole din of hachazar doesn't apply, so you can take out a cold kugel, a cold chicken from the refrigerator, put it, kedera, al gabi kedera is mutter. So many of the Svardish Poskim said, Chacham Avadya endorsed it, once you have a blech, nothing is al-gabi ha'esh. Nothing is al-gabi ha'esh. But the Ashkenazmi assume when you put the food out of the refrigerator, put it on top of the blech, where the fire is, that's al-gabi ha'esh. If you put it near the fire, it's getting hot. That's called al-gabi ha'esh. And by the Svardish Poskim, they hold that that's not called al-gabi ha'esh. There's no prohibition of hachazar. So Chacham Avadya endorsed it. So that's why in Deal, all the people have a blech. And they take out food from the refrigerator and they put it on top of the blech. They hold that that's not called agave hesh. If an Ashkenazi,
only if it's dry food, only if it's dry.
Right. To take soup, so we machmer that soup is a liquid. So soup is yesh bishul ha'bishul min ha'toyra. So then there's no het. It's only when the issue is hachazor the rabbanon, dry food. So then if it's on top of a blech, then by the svardim hold that there's no issa. If I happen to be visiting by a svardi. So since he's following a legitimate psak, so there's no prohibition, there's no knas, even if I'm visiting by an Ashkenazi who violated the Ashkenazi psak, but there is such a legitimate opinion that it's permissible to put food on top of the fire if you have a blech there. So the Prima Gaon, Mishnah Berurah quotes the Prima Gaon, whenever a person violated a din in Hilchos Shabbos, which is a machlokes, and there are legitimate poskim hold that this activity is permissible, so you can't say that there's a penalty, but you can't say that there's a knas, because according to some poskim, he didn't do anything wrong.
Would that apply only if the pot was on Ben Hashmash Shabbos?
No, that's
the
a deal.
The Rav felt that if it was on Ben Hashmash Shabbos, take it off and then put it back on.
That's a different kula. That's the Ramah quotes such a kula, and the Ramah recommends not to use it, even though he writes that in Krakow, where he lives, that was the common practice. But he recommends not to follow it. The other poskim say that we don't, it's based on the Yerushalmi. So they say, we don't have that passage in the Talmud Yerushalmi. Yes, it's a misprint. For us, it's a run-on paragraph. Not a run-on sentence, a run-on paragraph. For us, we have two different paragraphs that they somehow, the Rishonim had read it together. In our editions of the Yerushalmi, we don't have that Yerushalmi.
So the Sfardim hold that it's okay, even if it wasn't.
Right, to take out from the refrigerator. If you're putting it on top of a blech, so the blech is the mapsik, so that's not called agabi huesh. That's like by us, we are making k'dera agabi k'dera. So they hold the blech is already called the same as k'dera agabi k'dera. Hacham Avadya had a big bekiyas, but he was selective in what he quotes. He doesn't quote everything. He doesn't want you to know everything that he knows. So when he writes about reciting Bar Mi'or Hu'esh by Havdalah on an electric bulb, so this is Yadua. If I know, he knew that the quote Rab Chaim Moshe used to say Bar Mi'or Hu'esh on an electric bulb, and Rab Chaim Soloveitchik also did. Rab Chaim Moshe would Bedavka be mahadat to say Bar Mi'orish on an electric bulb, because when they first came out with the electric bulbs, the Maharsham wrote a tshuva that it's only a malachim of the Rabbanim. Since electric bulbs didn't exist in the days of the Mishkan, so whatever malacha was needed in the building of the Mishkan is an av malacha. Whatever existed in the days of the Mishkan was represented by what was in the Mishkan is the tolda. But if the whole malacha didn't exist, electric bulbs didn't exist in the days of the Mishkan, so the Maharsham thinks it can't be an Issa at all. Can't be an Issa. The rice and the most it could be is going to be on Malacha the Rabbanu. So based on that, many of the poskim had kulas. Rab Chaim Moshe didn't agree. Why does the electric bulb have to exist in the days of the Mishkan? Havara, and a form of Havara is a tolda, an ava tolda. Rab Chaim Moshe wanted to demonstrate that he doesn't agree with the Marsham's kula. Marsham is known as a big mekel, so he used to be mahadat to say Bar Mi'orish an electric bulb. Rab Chaim Soloveitchik also would say Bar Mi'orish an electric bulb. So Chacham Avadya quotes a Gemara that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch that you can't say Bar Mi'orish Ho'esh if the light is covered with a what do you call the top of the lantern?
A shade.
If you have a shade on top, so you can't say Bar Mi'orish because it's a chatzitza. So the poshib shot the way we usually learn, because you don't see the filament, you don't see the flame because it's covered. So he doesn't accept that. So it's, for many years they didn't have frosted bulbs, so all the bulbs were clear. So when you have an electric bulb, you can see the filament is glowing. I live in Washington Heights. So Rabbi Breuer lost his eyesight a few years before he passed away. He died at the age of 98. So they started asking about bulbs, the new bulbs. He didn't know what they were talking about. He remembered bulbs that were clear. You can see the filament. He always said in shul, when they had Kiddush on Yontif night, when it was Matzoi Shabbos, they would say Bar Mi'orish. They had a special bulb, an electric bulb to say Bar Mi'orish. So when he was very old, so they asked him about the new bulb. Say, what not? What are you talking about bulb? He remembered a bulb. They explained to him, no, it's a frosted bulb, and you can't see the filament. So it's a different story if you can't see the filament. So that's like if you have a shade and you don't see. So Chacham Avadya insists that's not the reason why. Not because a shade around it or frosted bulb you can't see. Even if you can see the filament, since it's a chatzitza, the filament is covered up, so you can't say Bar Mi'orish. So that's when he insists, and he says again, that's his recurrent thing. So he insists that it's not right, that you shouldn't say Bar Mi'orish on electric bulbs, dafke on real flame. He writes about Ner Chanukah. The Beis Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkish, was a Rav in Lemberg in the 1850s. He has in his tshuvas, I think he was probably the first one to write a tshuva about Hadlokas Neiris Shabbos and Hadlokas Neiris on Yontif on an electric bulb. So he writes that it's acceptable, but you shouldn't use an electric bulb for Neiris Chanukah, because Neiris Chanukah is Echel Nes. So in the Beis HaMikdosh, the Nes was with a Pach HaShemen with a filament. They have to have Shemen of Psila. When you have an electric bulb, you don't have Shemen of Psila, you just have a Psila. If you have a Bunsen burner, you also don't have a psila. You just have fuel burning. But yeah, he said, the Beis Yitzchak said, you have to have Shem and a psila, two different things. An electric bulb is good for Shabbos and Yonder, but it's not good for Neris Chanukah. So Chacham Avadya goes through that. He's masking with that, because he had to write a tshuva, because there were those who insisted that you don't need Dumya Dines, that the electric bulb is good for Neris Chanukah also. He writes, if a person is stuck in a hotel on Chanukah night, and they don't let him light the Neris Chanukah, so let him light an electric bulb, b'li bracha. Maybe he says a suffix, but he thinks that for sure you shouldn't say a bracha on the electric bulb.
Shabbos candles?
Pardon me?
Chacham Avadia allows it for Shabbos.
For Shabbos candles, he does allow it, but except in Eretz Yisrael, where the people who run the electricity are Jews and the Mechalei Shabbos, so you shouldn't do it. You shouldn't use. It shouldn't be nanif in the Melacha that the Jews are doing. That was a problem for many years.
So the issue of the Chatzitz is only by
Havdalah. Yeah, it's only only by Havdalah. For Bar Mirayish and Havdalah, the Gemara says if you have the shade around it, so then the Gemara says you cannot say Bar Mirayish. Every so often, when a rabbi comes to a wedding, so some of the women have low-cut dresses, so the rabbi is supposed to say a bracha. How can he say a bracha? The woman is half undressed. So Chacham Avadia has this in his Jewish, this Rav Soloveitchik also had this practice. He said, I must have asidah. So he said to him, Rabbi Soloveitchik, you don't know the brachas by heart? That's the din. You have to have asidah. There's no such din. He needed asidah to hold it up like this. So, because if you just close your eyes, that's a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch if the person is not dressed properly. But if you have a siddur, davar matzin, so Chacham Avadia has a tshuva about this, and he writes the same. Chacham Avadia has.
Could he close his eyes and say the bracha?
In Shulchan Aruch, it's a machlekes, but closing your eyes is acceptable. So Chacham Avadia is meikel a little bit. He says because this erev is only the rabbanon. The eber erev itself is the rice. Other parts of the body are only the rabbanon. So he's mekel because the Beis Yosef is mekel on this. But he says, best is, like the Ashkenazim say, you should have a siddur. Hold up a siddur and that'll be a davar masa. I remember once I was at a wedding, so everyone's dressed properly. So the rabbi said he needs a siddur to say the bracha. He didn't remember the brachas by heart. So Rabbi Saul Roth was there. So he said, what's the matter? Everyone is dressed properly. Well, why does he need a siddur? What does he need a siddur for? Chacham Avadia was matzliach that he changed the minig all over by the Sfardim, and now a lot of the Ashkenazim and all the yeshivas that do the same. He was very upset after the chuppah, so the chosen breaks the glass, and then everybody screams at Mazel Tov. Breaking the glass is supposed to be Zecher L'Churban Beis HaMikdash. He screamed at Mazel Tov. So he said that everyone should say, the rabbi should say, the chosen should say, Imashkachach Yerushalayim, should break the glass first, and then later, after he finishes Imashkachach Yerushalayim, then the people should scream Mazel Tov. So that his Shino of the Minig has been accepted by in many of the yeshivas. Instead of breaking the glass and then having everybody scream Mazel Tov, they break the glass in the middle of the singing of Eshkachach Yerushalayim, and then the Mazel Tov is postponed a little later. Doesn't really help that much. It's still strange, but helps a little bit. Chacham Avadia every year with tumul that the women are not allowed to wear a sheitel, they have to cover their hair. He was opposed, but he was a little meikel by the sheitel. He said if a woman is a grusha or an almana, so the obligation to cover her hair is only with the rabbanon, so then he's meikel. If you have a big shas atchak, he's meikel allowed to wear a sheitel. But under normal circumstances, the woman is happily married, so every year he would sign a kol kore. I remember when I visited Eretzot, they would be distributing kol kores year after year. That they would insist that it's not right to cover a sheitel. This is an Ashkenazi figamajig, and it's not right. He has the Rambam's son has a famous tshuva where the Rambam Rabbeinu Avraham ben Aramah quotes his father as saying that if you want to say Sheva Brachas the first week after the wedding, so the Gemara says you have to have Panim Chadoshes. How many people do you have to have that it should be called Panim Chadoshes? So the Rabbeinu Avraham ben Aramam says you have to have a minimum of two people who were not there before, because panim is in the plural. The word panim is always in the plural. Panim. Sometimes it appears pan, peinun, but we always say panim. Very strange. That's what he claims his father, the Rambam, said like that. So Chacham Avadia says, not let us say, Shevi Bracha, not let us say, I have two panim chadoshes, Bracha Levatola, Sofik Bracha Levatola, you're not allowed to say. That's what he insists. Okay. Chacham Avadia has two tshuvas that are very important. When a couple is not getting along, and the Beis Din recommends the husband should give a get, so if they're going to write in the psak, sometimes the husband is mechuyev to give a get, and the Beis Din has a right to force him to. So in Eretz Yisrael, the government can put the guy in jail. until he agrees to give a get. There were people who were sitting in jail for 50 years. They didn't want to give in. Right after Hakamas HaMedina, women wanted a get, they put him in jail. They were sitting in jail till they died because they were so consistent and not going to give in. They were sitting in jail. So we can't, in America, we can't do it, obviously, the separation of church and state. But in Eretz Israel, the issue is in the hands of the Rabbanut. So sometimes the din is that the Bezdin is Koyfer Lagar. Sometimes the din is Bezdin tells him, you're Mechuyev to be Megarish, but you can't be Koyfer. And sometimes not even Mechuyev to be Megarish. We recommend he should be Megarish. So let's say if a woman comes and she says, Mo'es Alai, I can't stand my husband. If she can't really prove that he's abusing her or whatever, she just says, I can't stand him, I want to get. So that's a machleika, is the Rambam in Balei HaTosfos. So the Rambam follows many goyim. There's koyfen legarish. The Rambam writes a famous expression, B'nai Yisrael are not prisoners of war, and if the woman wants a get, so the Bezdin will put him in jail unless he gives a get. And we don't, Ashkenazim, we don't follow that Rambam. We say that you're not koyfer legarish. Chacham Avadya says even if you don't follow the Rambam, that you're koyfer legarish when she says moyes alai, I can't stay my husband, but still he's mechuyev legarish. Basin should tell him you're mechuyev legarish because his wife says she can't stand you. You're mechuyev legarish. And then he writes, and sometimes when the din is we recommend that the husband should give his wife a get, they're not really mechuyev legarish. So the Bezin has to be careful not to write in the psak Chiyuv Gerishin, because maybe the husband will give the get because they told him he's Mechuyiv too. And if he would have known that he's not Mechuyiv too, he wouldn't have given the get. It's not right on the spot, but he says that may be considered a get betoys. If he only gave the get because they mistakenly told him Chiyuv. So Chacham Avadya writes in one of his tshuvas that when he was in the Rabbanut, you should be careful not to write Chiyuv Legarish when there isn't a Chiyuv Legarish because it may be a get betoys. But he has another tshuva, which is a very important tshuva. He writes about what we call harchokas the Rabbeinu Tam. The Rishonim quote in the name of the Rabbeinu Tam. Even when you're not koyfer legarish, but still the community has the right to place community pressure on the man. So the people have a right to tell him, we're not going to give you an aliyah, we're not going to let you say kaddish in the shul, we're not going to let you daven in the shul, we're going to boycott your business, we're going to recommend to people they should not do business with you, and so on and so forth, to pressure the person to give a get. So in, this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramo quotes this in Shulchan Aruch. Then on the bottom of the page, the Pischei Tshuva writes, he quotes a sefer, one of the Achronim, says, but we don't follow this Rabbeinu Tam. We don't do the Hachok as the Rabbeinu Tam. So Chacham Avadya says it's not true. And he documents that in every generation after generation, there were both Ashkenazim and Sephardim who followed this Hachok as the Rabbeinu Tam. So he recommends that you should do it. And he writes that on one occasion, I don't understand why it was only one occasion. He says on one occasion, there was a husband didn't want to give his wife a get. And it wasn't Koif in the garbage that he couldn't put him in prison. So he writes Rav Kulitz. I forgot who was the third one. Was Rav Zhulti, if I'm not mistaken. I think Rav Zhulti was the third one. They put together a Bezdin, and they publicize, and it gives you the text of the psak that everyone should boycott his business, and they shouldn't let him daven and shul and so on until he gives the get. That's what, unfortunately, sometimes we have to do in America. You have to institute the harchokas of the Rabbeinu Tam.
The get has to be given by the willingness of the man.
Right.
Without the pressure, without anything. You have to convince him to give the get. That he should recognize that he has to give the gift. But if he gives it unwillingness, the gift is not a gift.
Right, so this is what the Rabbeinu Tam said, that social pressure is permissible. If I curse him, he should drop dead if he doesn't give the gift. Or if I put him in prison, I put him in cheirim. Cheirim is a curse that he should die. So that's called bal korcho. But if you don't curse him, just social pressure. Hotabrera, move
there's
to a
also,
different...
There's also unwillingness. He okay. gives the get unwillingness.
So that's a good argument, but we don't accept that argument. We pass him, that's called midaita. Hotabrera, to move to another city.
You cannot eat the cake and have it. Either it's this way or this way.
It's not this way or this
way. This is a pressure. You cannot pressure a man to give a get.
So we explain to him, because the whole community is angry at you, so that's not considered pressure.
What if he doesn't care? He doesn't care.
So he won't give the get?
He won't give.
Okay. Exactly it. So it's not called pressure. You just explained why it's not called pressure. Hotabrera. Hotabrera. They won't let him daven a shul. They won't give him aliyahs. Hotabrera.
Go to a different shul. Go to a different town.
Okay. Years in jail. Okay.
So we pass in Lalocha. So in the Pischei Tshuva, he says, we don't follow this Rabbeinu Tam's recommendation. So Chacham Avadya wrote a whole tshuva where he documents both by Sfardim and Ashkenazim, generation after generation, they did it. They did the harchak as Rabbi Natan. So it's based on that tshuva that we do that in America.
Is there a span of time that eventually it turns from an etzah to a chiyuv, from a chiyuv to...
yeah, the Pashta says. Taisa says that when you kaifa a husband to give a get, that's because he's ba'aveling the wife. So you have cases in America, the couple is civilly divorced, the husband is not supporting the wife, he's not living with the wife at all, so of course he should be kaifa l'garish. In America we can't be kaifa l'garish, but strictly speaking you should be allowed to. That should be kfir. He's not supporting the wife, he's not living with the wife, and nothing with nothing. He's even civilly divorced. So that should be kfir. Yeah, it's famous.
Did Rav Avadi also accept any of the Rabbein Gershom with regard to not to divorce the wife of Bal Korcha?
Yeah, that Svardim also accepted, not to divorce Bal Korcha. Yeah, that Chayim they also accepted.
Didn't apply to the
Sparta.
No.
Very to wife.
There are opinions, the Ran in the Chuvah Saran holds that it's an Issa deraisa to divorce your wife Bal Korcha. So what did the Rabbeinu Gershom add on? He added on the curse. Cherem is a curse that's nichnas into the Ramach Ivorim. That's how the Gemara says. Cherem is the same letters as Ramach. So it's a curse the guy should drop dead because he's in violation of a real din. So the Ran holds that it's an Issa deraisa to divorce your wife Bal Korcha based on Gemara's. So we don't hold like the Rami hold us in Issa Rabban, but still it's an Avla Gedolah. So that Cherem they did accept. Many of the Charam and the Rabbeinu Gershom they did accept not to read someone else's mail. That's not right. So that Cherem they did accept. By Ashkenazim, the practice was for many, many centuries not to permit Yibum. Because in the days of the Tanoim there was a machloikas. What if the brother-in-law, Yibum is when a woman is married, the husband dies, leaves no children from this marriage, from any previous marriage. Not from a marriage. He has no children at all, so then the wife is supposed to either marry the brother-in-law, if there is a surviving brother, or get chalitza from the surviving brother. So the Tanoim had a machloikis. What if he's only marrying the sister-in-law because she's good-looking, or because she's wealthy, or because she has a big yichas, a yichas dika family? He's not really doing it l'shem shemaim. He doesn't really care for the mitzvah so much. The only reason why he's doing it is shaloi l'shma. So basically, you're in violation of an isa achas ishta. It's a special heter, but makam mitzvah zibum is mutter. So one tana Abba Shol is of the opinion it's only mutter if you do l'shem shemaim. Many rishonim say the whole din of Abba Shol is only midi rabbanon, but akalpan that's what Abba Shol says. So the Gemara says in different generations Abba Shol was in the minority opinion. The majority held that you still do yibum even he's not doing l'shem shemaim. So in different generations, the Gemara says the psak shifted. Depending on what the consensus was, whether the majority held like Abba Shol or against Abba Shol. So the question is, final maskana, what's the din? So how do you read the Gemara? So that's a machlekes d'Ashkenazim in the Svardim. So the Svardim read in the Gemara, the maskana la maskana, you may perform Yibum. And Ashkenazim, Tosfos on the Daf says, no, by Ashkenazim, we follow Abba Shol, we don't permit Yibum because we're afraid the fellow may not be doing Yibum, the Shem Shamayim. So right after Hakamas Hamdin in 1948, when they established the Rabbanut and the whole system of all the Bati Dinim, so Rav Herzog was the chief rabbi, so they got all the Rabbanim to make a Heskem. They all made an agreement that no one's going to allow Yibum. Because going to have for Sfarim, we're going to allow Yibum, Ashkenazim, they're not going to allow you. How can you have a different psalm? So Chacham Avadya had a taina. How can they make a Heskem against Aloha if the Sfarim Paskin is supposed to do Yibum? Who gave the Sfardish Rabbanim permission? Who gave them the right to agree to violate the Sfardish tradition? So he's famous for that. But hardly anybody ever listened to him on that. The meaning by the Sfardim also is that hardly anybody. That today people date and date forever.
If he says, I do it l'shem shamayim.
So we don't trust him. Yeah. We don't trust him.
You never win like this.
Yeah. No, so that's famous. Chacham Avadya published. Who gave the Svardish of Rabbanim the right in 1948 to agree to this? It's Shalokidin. So a few people did Yibum, but that he didn't succeed in that. That the common practice is that you don't do that. Many people have a minig that when someone is sitting, not everybody has the minig. Many have a minig when people are sitting shivas, they cover over all the mirrors. So what is that all about? So Chacham Avadya has a whole tshuva, so he thinks that the real reason, he quotes, everything he always quotes, the real reason for the minig is because you usually have a minyan in the base of oval. And the Radvaz writes in the tshuva that you shouldn't daven facing a mirror because it looks as if you're davening to yourself. And other posts can say, what do you mean? But when you bow down, so your image is going to bow down also. So you're not bowing down to an image. The image in the mirror is going to disappear. But that's the generally accepted opinion, is the Radvaz. You're not allowed to daven facing a mirror. So if you're going to daven in the Beis HaOvel, you're going to have mirrors all over the place, then some of the people are going to be davening facing the mirrors. But if you have a Beis HaOvel, no one's davening there. The davening in Shul, there is no minyan there. So then he says you don't have to cover the mirrors. Then he quotes, there are others, Rav Soloveitchik, like the other reason that they quote from the Chasam Sefer, that it's a kiyum of kriyas amita, the bus diyukni nasati ba'odam, the Gemara says, v'ata ba'me the same hafachtiya, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to take away the tzelem alekim, take away the person's life, because someone sinned. So the bed represents tzelem alekim, and the mirror represents tzelem alekim. So according to that explanation, even if nobody's davening in the base level, they should still cover over the mirrors. So Chacham Abadya thinks, he thinks that the other reason is more correct, and he says, if no one's davening base level, dafnished.
What about a mirror in the bathroom?
Yeah, he thinks that is not a problem. No one's davening in the bathroom.
So there you don't have to cover the mirror.
Right, that's what Chacham Avadya thinks, yeah. He has a tshuva in Eretz Yisrael and the Rabbanut. They have a system to have the bezin le'ir urim. To have, what do you call it in English?
Appeal.
Appeals. You have an appeals court. If a lower bezin gave a psak, just like in secular court, if a lower court gave a decision, so you can go to an appeals court, a higher court. So this was instituted by Rav Kook before Hakamas Amdin. Rav Kook died before Hakamas Amdin. So when he had the Rabbanot, he had a Bezin Irurim, and they were Ma'arurim on his institution. They said, there is no such thing. Once a Bezin gives a psak, the Gemara has a Loshen, Beidina Basa Beidina Loidaki. A Bezin is not supposed to reverse a psak of an earlier Bezin. So Chacham Avadya quotes that this was instituted by Rav Kook, and he says that's a mistake in reading the Gemara. The Gemara never said that. The Gemara is saying a psychological assessment of the situation, that a later Bezin will probably not investigate. If they have a psak from an earlier Bezin, they will probably assume that everything was done properly. But if you do have an appeals Bezin, an appeals court, and they do investigate, and the later Bezin determines that the earlier Bezin made a mistake, so you have to reverse the psak. And he quotes, the Gemara says, you can go to the Bezna Gadol to reverse the psak of the earlier Bezna. It's just Beidina Basa Beidina Lodaki is a statement of Umdiren. Chacham Avadya has tshuvas on all Arba Chalka Shulchan Aruch. They're all very pleasant. The reading is always very pleasant. He has the longer tshuvas for Talmid HaChacham. Then he has the six volumes of the shorter tshuvas. Yichav Adas also very beautiful. And his Svarim are classics. They will be classics for many years to come. The Svarim are very easy reading, and everybody enjoys reading them, even if you're not going to paskan like him. But the reading is very pleasant. Yehi zichro baruch.
What happens when a Sephardi girl marries an Ashkenazi boy? Should the Sephardi girl make a Torah Zorim on different houses?
The Moshe thinks that it's not even necessary. Some say she should make a Torah Zorim. Moshe thinks it's not necessary. It's just like a person goes from one kehillah to the other. They ain't died to Laksa. So if they're minhagim of the kehillah, so she's in a different kehillah now. She's in the husband's kehillah.